Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row as well. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by and let us know this is your first time, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Please read through your information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about the Warmth Tree, the Food Pantry Drive, and the All Church Christmas card that's in the back table, back in the foyer area. And note that the 2020 contribution envelopes, for those of you who have requested them, are now available in the foyer. Please pick yours up and then mark your name off the list to save us some postage later on at the end of the year. Our thanks to Barb Mayberry and all the folks on the Hospitality Committee for providing yet another delightful Christmas dinner for the congregation last evening. A good time was had by all. And Kathy has a few words to share, followed by Bob with a minute for mission.
I'm back. 2 weeks in Myrtle Beach. I took my Berry Christian Church surfboard hoping to look for the big kahuna. But no luck, no big wave. Hurricane season was over. No white sand or palm trees. No lawn chairs under big umbrellas. No waiters bringing out fancy drinks with little umbrellas. But we had a wonderful Thanksgiving and visited with Rita's brother and family and with the announcement of a new grandniece or nephew to arrive next summer. Rita already is looking for going back soon. And now from Outreach, a big thank you for all the wonderful outpouring of love through our gifts of Christmas shoe boxes. We delivered 55 this year. And all of the wonderful gifts of food for the 20 Thanksgiving dinners from our giving tree. We had enough extra to help with the upcoming Christmas dinner for early childhood. For Blanket Sunday, your gifts were $459. And $218 for special Thanksgiving offerings that will go to the Disciples Mission Fund. And there was many more wonderful gifts given through our CWF each year. Berry Christian Church is full of love, hospitality, and service for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Andrew is not here this morning, so we are just carrying on without him. So would you please rise for the call to worship? Let us praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to the help of his people and has set them free. Our God is merciful and tender. He will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us.
And shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death.
to guide our steps into the path of peace. Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, number 129, all stanzas of Lift Up Your Heads.
Lift up your heads, O mighty gates, behold the glory's ruler waits. The sovereign one is drawing near, the Savior of the world is here. Fling wide the portals of your heart, make it a temple set apart from earthly use for heaven's employ, adorned with prayer and love and joy. Redeemer, come, we open wide our hearts to you here, Christ abide. Let us your presence feel, your grace and love in us reveal. So come our sovereign enter in, let new and nobler life be.
Thank you, Joseph Jacobo, for being our acolyte this morning. Maybe about a few moments of prayer. Holy God, as we continue our journey through the Advent season and prepare to light the candle of peace, we also prepare to welcome the Prince of Peace. And now as we begin our service of worship together, we seek the living presence of Jesus Christ, that Prince of Peace, through the Holy Spirit. We seek your presence now and always in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you.
Last week we explained the symbolism of the Advent wreath, giving attention to what each part of the wreath stood for. And this morning, the first candle of waiting will be relit, followed by the second candle, the candle of peace, increasing the light of God's righteousness that shall overcome the darkness of sin, which has the potential to lurk secretly within the hearts of people throughout the earth. We are encouraged by the text of John chapter 1, verse 5, which states, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out." May we be in the spirit of quiet meditation as the first and second candles of the Advent wreath are lit this morning by Wren Aller and Katie Turner. And don't know if Mateo's going to join you all or not, but we know you all will be here. God bless you all. Thank you.
This morning, as we relight the first Advent candle of waiting, we remember that Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 tells us that those who wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed.
And this morning, as we focus our attention on the second candle of peace, we find ourselves wondering why humanity so seldom seems to live in peace. Even today, as our nation and the other countries continue to be engaged in wars, history reveals that since 3600 BC, the world has seen 14,351 years of war, in which 3.6 billion of God's people have lost their lives. And there have only been 292 years of worldwide peace.
Humanity's own track record of violence, perpetuated by avarice, greed, and vice, remind us that it will never be through our own efforts that peace shall prevail. Instead, Scripture reminds us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, that the Lord of peace himself gives us peace at all times in every way. So even as we may hope for and strive for peace, as we light the second Advent candle of peace, we remember Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, which encourages us to let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. For as members of one body, we are called to live in peace.
Kiddos, it's your turn. Come on up for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he see stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Wow, good morning. It's nice to see everybody this morning. Boy, some wonderful new little faces up here. Hi, 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 hi. Hi, yeah, it's nice to see you all. Hi, do you guys have Christmas trees at your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, does everybody have a Christmas tree at their house? Yeah. What do you put on your Christmas tree? Oh, those go under the tree, don't they? What do you put on?
Ornaments.
Ornaments, yeah. Okay, Giovanni.
Angels.
Yay, you said the right word, the key word, angels. Yeah, because that was my next question. What do you put on top of your tree? Yeah, some people put...
stars.
But other people like me put...
angels.
Angels, right. And you know... oh, candy canes too. You gave me one earlier. Thank you. You know, angels played a very big part in the Christmas story. And you know, in the Bible, sometimes it referred to angels as cherubim or seraphim or maybe just living beings. Yeah, and he named some of them. There's one named Gabriel and another named Michael. Yeah, and do you have any idea what maybe the Bible said about how angels looked? Have any idea? Well, sometimes they said they looked like men, and they wore shining garments. What could that imaginably that be like? Would that be exciting?
It would be exciting.
It would be exciting, wouldn't it? It'd sure get your attention, wouldn't it? And you know, the word angel comes from a Greek word, and that Greek word means messenger. So angels brought messages. So do you have any idea what a messenger is, Giovanni?
Angels give people messages.
Yeah, they bring messages from heaven down to earth. Some of the messages might be a warning that something might be happening, or maybe to rescue somebody. Or how about teaching us a lesson of some kind? Yeah. So angels do a lot more than bring messages. But bringing messages from heaven to us here on earth is pretty important, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Because the angels were the very, very first ones who brought the good news of Jesus' birth to all of us here on earth. So tell me, what's a messenger?
Angel.
And what does that angel do?
Send messages from heaven to down here.
To earth, right. Very, very good. And next week we're going to learn a lot more about angels and the part they played in the Christmas story. So I want to see all your happy little faces up here again next week, okay? So let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious children, and thank you for the opportunity to share your stories with them. Guide, guard, and direct their path throughout the next week until we see again. And God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, we want to continue to remember Gail Roller as she is now home and recovering from the extensive surgery she had last Monday. We also lift up Rihanna Ralston, the daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon. We lift up Jill Gregory at Ignite Rehabilitation and Grace Kimberling as she's at the McCrite Rehabilitation Center. Emily Boswell is in our prayers as she continues to be at home in hospice care. And Jerry and Peggy, it's good to see you both. Good to have you all back with us as we continue to remember your daughter-in-law, June, and Chris. Glad you're back in worship with us now. And certainly in Ted Ferris's family, Ted, we're remembering a number of your family members and a number of other folks we've been lifting up day by day. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, on this second Sunday of Advent, it is with hopeful expectation that we have lit the candle of peace. Yet even as we have lit this symbol of wishful expectation that your peace may abound, the two shootings on our own naval bases in Hawaii and Florida this past week remind us once again that the forces of evil are always lurking, striving to wreak havoc, discord, destruction, and even death among people not only here but the world over. So as we focus our attention on the expectant arrival of the Christ child this Advent season, may our greatest hope for peace reside not in the actions of men, but rather in your loving presence. For as Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 reminds us, may the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And as Jesus speaks of himself in John chapter 14, verse 27, he also says to us today, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world does. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It is with the assurances of your great peace, even in the midst of life's trials and tribulations, that we are able to experience internal and spiritual peace, even as the chaos of worldly affairs rage around us. And with such peace from within, we are given the privilege, as Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 tells us, to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one would see the Lord. Guide us this second week of Advent, O God, as we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God and as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you for once again reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. And as I encourage you to say to all you greet during this Advent season, Merry Christmas. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. So let us open our hearts and prepare to hear God's message for us today. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouths of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message of hope and salvation today. We give thank you for all you do for us, and during this Advent season, remind us to give thanks for your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The trivia question for the day: what carol do we sing at Christmas time that was not originally intended to be a Christmas carol? Anybody know the answer?
Is it Jingle Bells?
You got it. That's right, Melanie. Melanie's got it. Ted got it at the first service. Jingle Bells. It actually originated as a song for Thanksgiving composed in 1857 by James Lord Pierpoint. Medford, Massachusetts, where sleigh races were popular in the 1800s, claimed to be the birthplace of the song. There is a plaque at 19th High Street, the site of the former Simpson Tavern, where Pierpoint was said to have penned the ditty in 1850. The original title of the song was One Horse Open Sleigh, but that was changed to Jingle Bells when it was reprinted in 1859. Astronauts Raleigh Schirra and Thomas Stafford orbiting Earth on Gemini 6 on the 16th of December back in 1965 made Jingle Bells the first song heard from space, although we're not quite sure who was listening. They played it on a harmonica, accompanied by some bells that have since been placed in the Smithsonian Museum. Even as we share in the Lord's Supper, this and every Sunday, we remember that it first started out as a festival to celebrate the Hebrew people's freedom from Egyptian bondage. But Jesus transformed its meaning, using the leftover bread and wine of the Passover table to represent his body and blood sacrificed on the cross for the liberation of humanity from sin. May we thus partake in the transformative power of the Passover to the Lord's Supper as we rejoice in what Christ has done for our divine redemption. Our communion hymn this morning, number 163, may we sing both stanzas of Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, 163.
Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swiftly winging, angels singing, bells are ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the babe was born for you. Christ the babe was born for you.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come now before this table to celebrate this wonderful time of year. The time, and remember the time years ago when the greatest gift of all times was given to us, to set all humanity free forever. We just thank you for that as we come before this table now and celebrate the life of Jesus Christ and celebrate the fact that he suffered and died and all for us. So we celebrate this now in your precious son's name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The paper sign said, to grow a reindeer, just add water and turn off the lights. The video clip shows a number of these paper signs being placed under the bathtub spigot. The water turned on, the sliding glass door of the shower closed, and the lights turned out. When the lights are turned back on and the shower door is opened, what should appear to our wondering eyes but a tassel of wiggling, jumping, tiny brown reindeer? Actually, though, it was a bunch of cute all-brown puppy dogs with reindeer horn hats tied to their little heads. A fun-loving joke for the holiday season. But as the challenging needs of our world get more and more complicated, wouldn't it be just grand if we really could just add water and turn off the lights, making our grandest wishes come true? Yet in reality, it takes commitment of our personal resources, time, and devotion to make miracles, great and small, happen. This week and every week, we often offer a portion of our resources for God's purposes as we offer a word of prayer and seek the miracle of God's plan with the help of our personal commitments. Anna?
Today we celebrate our Prince of Peace and the amazing acts of kindness that he taught us. Through his words and actions, Lord, let our actions of giving show you that we are thankful for every lesson that you have taught us, and we will use these gifts to show the world your everlasting love. Lord, bless these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we are privileged to once again be in your house of worship, and to know that we have a voice to proclaim the good news of Christ. It's in his name that we give thanks for the morning. Amen. Back in the mid-1980s, I gave a particular gift to a friend of mine. He had always said he wanted a Mercedes-Benz sedan, back in the day when they were quite popular among those young folks called yuppies, if you remember, of which he was one. As he opened the package, there was a 1/18th scale version of the very Mercedes-Benz sedan that he had been wanting. And I also included a note: just add water and $10,000 for the next 4 years, and your Mercedes-Benz will magically appear. You can see that was a while back, because that's when you could get a Mercedes-Benz brand new for $40,000. Now it's more like about $80,000 or so, isn't it? You know, the rest of us roared as he opened that up. He was not amused. But he did keep the 1/18th scale version of the Mercedes sedan. Ah, if we could just wish for that which we want, add a little bit of water, maybe even say a little prayer and have it happen, wouldn't that just be miraculous? Yet in our scripture story for today, what we have is Zechariah, and he has the profound privilege, the privilege of a lifetime as a priest in the holy clan of Aaron, to be in the temple in Jerusalem, and he is offering up the incense during evening worship. And while he was there in the Holy of Holies offering up the incense, he is lifting up a prayer. Oh, if he could only just add a little water and make it happen. But he's offering up a prayer not only on behalf of the Hebrew people, but because of the significant burden that he and Elizabeth had borne all of their married life. As a young man, Zechariah must have thought that he was doing everything right. After all, he was from the priestly clan of Aaron, and he was fortunate enough to find a woman who would marry him, whether it be through the family arrangements or however it was in their community of Hebron. She, too, was also from the priestly clan of Aaron's lineage. And as a consequence of that, for a priest to marry a woman from the line of Aaron was, you know, considered to be the best arrangement possible for a priest. Surely God would bless the two of them in a miraculous and wonderful way. But after they were married, and as the years went by, there became a significant burden for both of them to bear. And that was the fact that they were childless. And even as you read Luke's account here of this story, you'll see that even Luke casts the blame on Elizabeth. It says specifically, Elizabeth could have no children. It was believed in this time that if a woman was childless, it was her fault. And it was often considered that there must have been some sort of sinful thing that went on, either in that particular woman's life or somewhere in the family's past, maybe some unspoken sin that was the reason for the couple being barren. And this burden was so great that according to Jewish law, not only any Jewish man, but certainly a Jewish priest, had the right to actually divorce his wife and find some other woman to marry if the woman bore no children. So that's a pretty heavy burden for a priest to carry year after year, decade after decade. What we have to really admire here is that Zechariah and Elizabeth were certainly devoted to one another in a very profound way. Even though they carried what would have been perceived to be a measure of shame, yet they were devoted to one another and continued to follow in the footsteps of the faithful practices of being a devoted couple in the priestly clan. And lo and behold, as he prayed, and the incense rose to the heavens, there appeared before Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar where the incense was burned there in the temple in Jerusalem. The text of verse 12, Luke chapter 1, says, when Zechariah saw him, he was alarmed and felt afraid. And as the text continues, but the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Notice how, again, the angel is saying, the Lord has heard your prayer. It's specific. The Lord has heard the prayer that you and Elizabeth have been carrying all these years, even though, of course, his task would have been to be praying for all of Israel as he was there in the Holy of Holies. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. How happy you will be, and how happy many others will be when he is born. He will be a great man in the Lord's sight. And of course, then the rules of being a Nazarite are spelled out in the next several verses. And again, it is noted that he is going to be the one who would be the precursor to the coming of the Messiah. And yet, despite the presence of the angelic being, Zechariah expresses his doubts about this prophecy when he says in verse 18, how shall I know if this is so? I am old, and my wife is old also. Now, in verse 19, we have a rather bold response from the angelic being, don't we? The text says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God who sent me to speak to you and to tell you this good news. But you have not believed my message, which will come true at the right time, and because you have not believed, you'll be unable to speak. You will remain silent until the day my promise to you comes true. As the text goes on, in the meantime, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he was spending such a long time in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And so they knew that he had seen a vision in the temple. Unable to say a word, he made signs to them with his own hands. Now you see what happened in this context. This happened every day. Again, the incense was offered in the morning and the evening. And here Zechariah, after he made the offering and the prayer, he comes out into a porch area that separated that holy section of the temple from the court of the Israelites. And so all of them would have been gathered there waiting for a message. Because again, when the priest is able to be in the Holy of Holies, it's like being really up close and personal to God. Surely God has a message for the people. Yet here Zechariah comes on out and he's speechless. And the people are amazed at what had happened to him, wondering what all this means. But for our context today, why is it that Zechariah loses his voice? Why does he lose the voice of prophecy? It is because he did not believe. He questioned even the authority of the most significant angel of all angels, Gabriel, right? And in his questioning, in his doubt, God takes away his voice. And so, we must ask ourselves, in our day and time, when is it that we lose our voice? And what I would propose to you is that it is when so often we too find ourselves doubting or questioning or wondering about the very presence of God who resides with us and works within our lives. When we fail to think that God is working within us, when we fail to think that we are connected with God, how often is it that we have no voice whatsoever to offer? And as a consequence, the people of our nation become less and less and less of a believing nation of people. For they have heard no words about God or Christ, because we remain silent. As the story goes on, we know that Zechariah is silent all the way through the pregnancy. Finally, John the Baptist is born. And on the day that he is to be named, the people of the community of Hebron are gathering together. And they say, oh, well, let's name him Zechariah after his father. After all, Elizabeth and Zechariah have not had any children. This way, Zechariah's name can continue for the next generation. But Elizabeth, as the story continues on, says, no. His name cannot be Zechariah. It must be John. The name John means God has granted us favor. And it's a fitting name for their child, is it not? Given the context of shame that they had lived under for so many decades, all of a sudden to know that God had kind of shined on them in a most miraculous and wonderful way through the birth of their son was a wonderful blessing. His name shall be John. Oh, but the people of the community, they said, oh, there's no John in your family. Nobody with that name. Why do you want to use the name John? And so they go to Zechariah, you know, and they kind of do some hand sign things. And Zechariah says, give me a piece of paper and a pencil in so many ways. And he writes down, his name shall be John. And it is at that moment that John is given back his voice. The voice that proclaims. And so then you have a whole series of verses in which you see this proclamation that the priest is now making, a proclamation of praise and celebration and glory for God's purposes, day by day. So what does this story have to say to you and me as we make our way through this Advent season? Yes, in our doubt, we too can lose the prophetic voice, and our nation suffers immensely from our silence. Maybe it is time that we too step forward and proclaim how God works in our lives and how God is effective in giving us guidance and direction in all we do and say as we make our way day by day. I think that kind of testimony is something that generations prior to us did so well, and we often do now so poorly. And in our silence, the nation wonders, where is God? But he is there in the voice. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know you can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 170, How Great Our Joy. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of hymn number 170.
The sheep we watched at night, lo, there appeared an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy, 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 glory to God who reigns on high, glory to God. Joy, joy, joy.
thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And Gail, we are truly grateful for your leadership this morning. And Andrew's absence, he was dealing with some back concerns this morning. We hope that he will be feeling much better by next Sunday. Also, Carrie and I this week will be flying out of Kansas City, heading for Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday through Sunday, as our son Jonathan is graduating from Georgia Tech with a master's degree in industrial engineering. So he's excited about that, and we're going to be excited about being a part of that. Jim will carry the services next week on my behalf. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, guide us as we step forward with the new week that's before us, and for the privilege we have to be a voice of proclamation that Christ is indeed Lord and Savior. Guide us now and always. In his name we pray. Amen.
Of the world, you people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star is begun. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what the world was meant to be. To bring task you do, to dance at a baby's new birth, to make music in an old person's heart, and sing to the colors of the earth. I am the light of the world. You people and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what the world to do and be.